beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as she considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. So far, God's word. Let's bring this word before him and ask for his blessing on it in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, this is your word before us now. Open our hearts to your word. Lord, these are words for many of us that are very familiar. But help us to look at them afresh this morning. Encourage us, strengthen us, guide us, lead us, change us through your word this morning, we pray. And we pray this through the only name that can save us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are a number of debates happening in our society at the moment over the use of names. If you read stuff, there's been a number of articles over the past couple of months with regard to names. A number of debates happening. Should our English names for a number of cities and towns be changed to Maori names? Should our country drop the name New Zealand and instead be called Aotearoa? The local iwi just recently gifted a new name to Christchurch Hospital. Waipapa is the name. Now, that name has cost lots of money to change. Was that money well spent? Now, judging from some of the commentary, judging from some of the comments that you read and stuff, people feel very passionately on both sides of the argument. And I'm not going to solve that argument for you here this morning, something to continue a discussion later on perhaps. But the point is that people are passionate about names. We chose names for our girls as a family. We didn't go down the family track, but the names that we chose were significant to us. And I don't know about the names that you've chosen for your children. But names are important. David reminded us last Sunday evening about the name of Jabez, a name that meant pain, and how he prayed that his name wouldn't be Jabez, that he would avoid pain. You see, in the Bible, names are even more important. They are significant. And this morning, as we come to our passage, we're going to look at three names that are given in our passage. And in doing so, we're going to ask the question, why did Jesus come? Our answer is that Jesus came to save his people. Now, we know that answer. Jesus came to save us from our sins. But do we understand what it really means that Jesus came to save us? Because as we're going to see this morning, Jesus, yes, did come to save us from our sins. And yes, that's vital and important. That's our first point this morning. But the name, other names given to Jesus also show how he saves us. And if I can say it, in larger and greater ways, in different ways. This morning we're going to see, yes, Jesus came to save his people. And we're going to look at the three names given to us. The first name is Jesus. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now as readers, Matthew lets his readers into something that Joseph didn't know straight away. Verse 18. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph didn't yet know this. Matthew was keen to show us that Jesus was born from a virgin. He introduces that concept. He speaks to that through the passage. But Joseph doesn't yet know this. She was betrothed to Joseph, our passage says. And to understand this, we need to understand how engagement worked back then and marriage worked back then. It's not like it works today. You see, back in those days, when you were engaged to be married, it was basically the same as being married. Yet you didn't yet live together. What would happen normally in Jewish society is that the commitment would be made and the Jewish woman would live at home for sometimes up to a year as the preparations were made for a house, as they organized everything that needed to be done for the wedding. But being engaged was basically the equivalent to being married. It was a legally binding agreement. And so to break that engagement, you had to go through a divorce. Our passage tells us that Joseph was a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, so he resolved to divorce her quietly. The only answer to this problem in Joseph's eyes was divorce. Now, it became obvious to Joseph very soon that Mary was pregnant. Now, our passage doesn't go into details there. Most likely, she began to show a bit of a baby bump, and the truth could no longer be hidden. Joseph was a just man, and as I said, that can also be translated a righteous man. And so because he was righteous, he sought to honor the Lord. The action for him, the appropriate action, was to divorce Mary. But he could have taken her to court. He could have displayed her before the elders and said, "Look at this woman. She needs to be divorced." He could have shamed her, but no, as part of the justness here, as part of his righteousness, there is also mercy. And Matthew is keen to show in the book of Matthew that righteousness is a concept that is important. He has spoken, Jesus will go on to speak in the Sermon on the Mount about keeping the law. And what Jesus shows in the Sermon on the Mount is that it's not just ticking the boxes, but it's the heart behind the law that's important. Jesus says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So part of Joseph doing what is right is also showing mercy. And as he's thinking about how this is going to work, how this is going to happen, as he's pondering this, our passage says in his mind, in verse 20, he has a visit from the angel. The angel explains what has happened. Not details, but simply tells him the facts. Don't fear to take Mary as your wife, Joseph. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus was a very common name in those days. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. It's a name very common. The name meant exactly what the angel says. God saves. Jesus means God saves. The angel says more than this, though. He says that he will save his people. He will be a savior. And to the people of Israel at that time, this was just what they were looking for. This was what they were waiting for. They were looking for the Messiah. Someone who would come and save the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, from the Roman oppression. Who would take the throne and make Israel great again. But that's not the Savior that was coming. They were looking for the wrong kind of Savior. And that's the case in our world today as well. We live in a world where people are looking for a savior. Our prime minister was introduced at the Labour Party conference prior to the election as the savior of New Zealand. That's how they introduced her. Here is New Zealand's savior. Why was she a savior? Because of the way that she had led us in COVID. Our government is seeking to be a savior and leading in climate change. That's not the saviour that this country needs. I don't know about you, but I've sat in churches where Jesus has been preached. And the primary message of what Jesus has come to save is that Jesus has come to save you and make your life easy. Jesus has come to save you and make you rich. Jesus has come to save you from your suffering. Now, those are all important and good things. But that's not the primary reason. That's not first and foremost why Jesus came to this world. The angel tells us, the angel makes it clear. He will save his people from what, boys and girls? What will he save his people from? Someone tell me. Not one of the boys and girls, but I will take it, Albert. He will save his people from their sins. Sorry, Riley, you got beaten at the front. Jesus will save his people from their sins. That's what Israel needed. That's what this world needs. That's what we need. All of us here this morning have friends. Some of us have children that do not yet know Jesus Christ. That are walking away from Jesus Christ. What do we want for them most? Do we want them to live a happy life? Do we want them to be rich? Do we want them to have good jobs? All of those things are good. But that's not what they need. That's not what we should want for them. What they need is sins forgiven. They need to be saved. They need to be right with God so that they can stand with us in heaven. Isn't that what we want for them the most? It's Jesus, the Savior, that they need. It's Jesus, the Savior, that we need to save us from our sins. That's the first name that the angel speaks. The first name that we've looked at, I should say, this morning, that the angel speaks. The second name is Emmanuel. That's our second point this morning. Jesus came to be with us, Emmanuel. The angel, it's most like the angel still speaking here, quotes from Isaiah 7 verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And most likely Matthew translates very helpfully for us what that means. It means God with us. God with us. And this is a hugely significant fulfillment. You see, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had God with them. Genesis tells us that God came in the cool of the afternoon and spoke with Adam and Eve. But after the fall, all that changed, and God could not be with them because of their sin. And unless God reached out, unless God intervened, that gap would always remain. In the tabernacle, in the temple, we have a start. God coming down and his presence dwelling in the temple. But even then, the people of Israel couldn't approach. They couldn't come near. The high priest could only come in one time a year. The gap remained. But in Jesus Christ, all of that changed. All of that changed. God and man, God literally walking as a man amongst his people. God coming to save, God sending his son, because only God can save. That is Emmanuel, God with us. God removing that gap, God removing that barrier between us and him. But that's not all that Emmanuel means. Emmanuel remains with us. Matthew 18 reminds us, in Jesus' words, that he continues to be with his church, maintaining the purity of his church. Matthew 28 and the great gospel commission reminds us, promises us, that as we make disciples, Jesus will be with us. In John, Jesus promised that he would always remain with us through his Holy Spirit. And because of his Holy Spirit, we still experience Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Jesus doesn't promise to save us from our troubles in life. Sometimes he does save us. He could save us, but often he doesn't. But what Jesus does promise, and this is important, what he does promise is that he walks with us through those trials. He is always with us through those struggles. A friend of mine, Mike, has a brother-in-law by the name of Joel. Now, 20 years, Joel was preparing to leave Afghanistan. It was the day before he was going to come home to his family. He was doing a bit of shopping before coming home to his family in Australia. On that very afternoon when he was shopping, six armed men from the Mujahideen, I'm not sure if I said that right, but a precursor to the Taliban, these six men came and took Joel hostage. 6 long months he was imprisoned in Afghanistan in a fortress. And during those 6 months, Joel kept a diary. And he wrote in this diary, and I quote, "How many times have I cried, oh Lord, how can I last another day?" He wrote, "I had had my peace in my heart from God." This is how he could last. "Because I realized that even in strange and violent situations, I was in God's care. How could Joel survive through that tough time? He could survive because he knew Emmanuel. He knew God with him. As I look around the room this morning, I'm reminded of the trials and struggles that we all carry as God's people. How can we go through these trials? How can we face cancer? How can we face the death of loved ones? How can we face broken, damaged relationships? How can we face the trials of life? We can do so, brothers and sisters, because of Emmanuel, because of God's promise that he is with us, that he carries us through our times of struggle. He promises us he will be with us. He will help us. Emmanuel, God with us. What a comfort. Jesus, sins paid for. Hallelujah. But there's another name in our passage as well. And that brings us to our third point and final point this morning. The Son of David. Jesus came to rule over us. Matthew here shows us another reason why Jesus came, another reason how Jesus came to save his people. And here in Matthew 18, 1 verses 18 through 25, Matthew answers a question that he asks in his genealogy. How can Jesus be the son of David? How can he become the son of David? You see, the genealogy that we have before us, this list of names, is not Mary's genealogy. No, it's Joseph's. It's Joseph's. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, it says, but it's Joseph's genealogy at the end here. But what does the angel say, boys and girls? How does the angel call Joseph in verse 20? Joseph, son of... What does it say, boys and girls? Son of... At the back there, Juliet. Son of David. That's right, Juliet. Son of David. The angel is here making a point. He's highlighting Joseph's lineage. And Jesus comes into that line by adoption. Verse 24 and following, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Again, highlighting here, there is no human way possible that Mary became pregnant. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. But notice what he says there, and it's there, Joseph, that is being spoken about at the end of verse 25. He called his name Jesus. Joseph woke and obeyed. Mary came to live with them. But it is significant that it is Joseph that named Jesus. In doing so, he took on the rights of becoming Jesus' father. That was the significance of him giving the name. Practically, that meant that Jesus grew up in a family with a mother and a father. He grew up in a normal family. But also, because Joseph was in the line of David, Jesus became the son of David. Now, yes, Mary is also from the line, but the author's point here is that it's through Joseph that he obtains the title Son of David. That's important to see. Here the line of David of king is continued. The promise that was given in 2 Samuel chapter 7. There will be a king on the throne who will live eternally. Now as we look at this name of kings, and there were a lot of names there, weren't there, boys and girls? as we look at all the names of the kings there in the beginning of the book of Matthew, one thing that we can note is that all of these kings were sinful. And as you read through this line, the line slowly degrades. The line of human kings, Matthew wants us to see, was a failure. Human kings were not the answer to save God's people. Only one king could save, and that was the king that was born to Joseph and Mary. The everlasting king. The king who is our savior. The king who remains in control of this earth that we live in. Now, in my younger years, I was involved in planning national youth camps, national youth conferences. And we were quite an organized committee. We would have everything planned on a timetable. We had things planned sometimes down to 5-minute blocks. But one thing you learn very quickly when you make plans is that those plans can easily go awry. Those plans very easily need to be changed. And no matter how much we wanted to feel like we were in control, we weren't. In life, we like to think we're in control, don't we? We like to think that we're in control of where we're going. We're in control of what happens. But we aren't really in control, are we? All it takes is a phone call. And life suddenly changes. 5 minutes at the doctor's, and the world that you thought was in, that you were in control of, you realize how much you're not in control. A moment of inattention at the wheel, and life changes forever. Let alone a virus that can cripple the modern world that we live in. But throughout all of this, brothers and sisters, throughout all of this, the Son of David remains in control. And Jesus doesn't have this world planned down to 5-minute blocks, or 5-second blocks, or milliseconds, or even a yoctosecond. I had to look that up, a yoctosecond, 10 to the power of 24, 24 zeros of a second. Now Jesus is in control. Every single moment of time. He is in control of every single detail of our lives. He rules over everything. And he knows what we're going through. Because he is Emmanuel, he sees our pain, he understands us because he has been there himself. God with us. God ruling over us. God working all things together for the good of his people. And yes, that means bad and good things that happen to us for our good. But we also live, brothers and sisters, in the sure hope and knowledge that one day our King, the Son of David, will return. And when he comes, he will bring and he will fix climate change. He's going to bring a new heavens and a new earth. No more COVID. He will make all things right. No more having to come and watch worship through live stream, because we will all be there in person, worshiping our Savior face to face. No more having to worry about what the doctor's going to say. No more having to struggle with the pains and aches and agonies that we have in life. No more broken relationships, because our relationships will be perfect. No more suffering. No more struggle. No more uncertainty. No more sorrow. No more pain. Just perfect joy. Perfect happiness and the presence of our King. Every point of view has another angle, and every angle has its merit. But it all comes down to faith. That's the way I see it. You can say that love is not divine, and you can say that life is not eternal. All we have is now. but I don't believe it. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us. And the restless soul is searching. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and it's a void that only He can fill. Does the world seem grey with empty longing, wearing every shade of cynical? Do you ever feel that something is missing? There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and the restless soul is searching. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us, and a void only He can fill. Are you here today, this morning, trying to fill that hole, trying to fill that emptiness? Unless that hole is filled with Jesus Christ, with Emmanuel, with the Son of David, you won't be able to fill that hole. Nothing else will fill it. But brothers and sisters, for those of us who have been saved by Jesus Christ, who can call Jesus our Savior, who can call Jesus our Emmanuel, who can say, Jesus is my King. Remember, as you come now to the table, take, eat. Remember and believe that Jesus came to save you, that Jesus came to save me. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful announcement that you gave to Joseph to remind us this morning just who Jesus is and how he came to save us. We praise you for his name, Jesus, coming to save us from our sins. Lord, that is what we need, and we thank you for that. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who we know, for our friends, for our co-workers. We pray for our children, and we plead with you, may they too be able to call Jesus Christ their Savior. Work in their lives, work in their hearts, so they may be satisfied with nothing else, absolutely nothing else, but Jesus Christ. We praise you this morning for Emmanuel, God with us, a God who can save us, but also a God who promises to be with us through all of life. Lord, as we go through our struggles, and you know each and every one of our struggles here this morning, you know our trials, you know what's on our hearts, help us to feel, help us to know Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, we thank you for our King, the Son of David, the King who remains in control of all things, the King who will one day return to take us home, the King who is victorious. Help us to live in the hope of our Saviour's sure coming back. Lord, we long and we look forward to the day that you will make all things right. Give us patience in the meantime. May the Son of David, may the Emmanuel, may Jesus Christ help us, encourage us as we live our lives before you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we turn our thoughts to the table, we sing to our Saviour this morning, O Jesus, joy of loving hearts. We sing there, we turn unfilled to thee again, we turn unfilled to thee again. We ask the Lord to feed us, to nourish us as he does spiritually in the Lord's Supper. Let's stand and sing these words together, number 383.